The savage was silent for a little.
"All the same," he insisted obstinately, "Othello's good. Othello's better than those Feelys."
"Of course it is," the controller agreed. "But that's the price we have to pay for stability. You've got to choose between happiness and what people used to call high art. We've sacrificed the high art. We have the Feelys and the scent organ instead."
"But they don't mean anything."
"They mean themselves. They mean a lot of agreeable sensations to the audience."
"But they're told by an idiot."
The controller laughed. "You're not being very polite to your friend, Mr. Watson, one of our most distinguished emotional engineers."
"But he's right," said Helmholtz gloomily, "because it is idiotic, writing when there's nothing to say."
"Precisely. But that requires the most enormous ingenuity. You're making flivvers out of the absolute minimum of steel, works of art out of practically nothing but pure sensation."
The savage shook his head. "It all seems to me quite horrible."
"Of course it does. Actual happiness always looks pretty squalid in comparison with the overcompensations for misery. And, of course, stability isn't nearly so spectacular as instability. And being contented has none of the glamour of a good fight against misfortune, none of the picturesqueness of a struggle with temptation or a fatal overthrow by passion or doubt. Happiness is never grand."
"I suppose not," said the savage after a silence. "But need it be quite so bad as those twins?"
He passed his hand over his eyes, as though he were trying to wipe away the remembered image of those long rows of identical midgets at the assembling tables, those queued-up twin herds at the entrance to the Brentford monorail station, those human maggots swarming around Linda's bed of death, the endlessly repeated face of his assailants. He looked at his bandaged left hand and shuddered.
"Horrible!
But how useful! I see you don't like our Kokonovsky groups. But I assure you, they're the foundation on which everything else is built. They're the gyroscope that stabilizes the rocket plane of state on its unswerving course."
The deep voice thrillingly vibrated. The gesticulating hand implied all space and the onrush of the irresistible machine. Mustafa Mon's oratory was almost up to synthetic standards.
"I was wondering," said the savage, "why you had them at all, seeing that you can get whatever you want out of those bottles. Why don't you make everybody an Alpha Double Plus while you're about it?"
Mustafa Mon laughed. "Because we have no wish to have our throats cut," he answered. "We believe in happiness and stability. A society of alphas couldn't fail to be unstable and miserable. Imagine a factory staffed by alphas, that is to say, by separate and unrelated individuals of good heredity and conditioned so as to be capable, within limits, of making a free choice and assuming responsibilities. Imagine it," he repeated.
The savage tried to imagine it, not very successfully.